Well, this series of lectures is called Bible Background. That's just a very broad term. But if we narrow it down to the theme that we will be considering, I've entitled the series as Ramblings. And that's what it'll be. It'll be ramblings through daily life in Israel in Bible times, with a special emphasis on the life and times of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was life like in Israel whenever Jesus walked the land? How did people live? And so that's the kind of theme that we're dealing with. Customs, culture. Not so much as dealing with events in history, but more about ordinary living, or what we call daily life. There is, of course, much in God's Word that informs us of what life was like at the time of Jesus Christ. We have the New Testament, we have the Gospels, four Gospels, we have the Acts of the Apostles. There are also historic books of other places. Josephus wrote shortly after the time of Christ, and he gives us insight to some of the customs and the life of the people of Israel at that time. Some rabbinical writings, though written a little later, also give us insight. And then there's archaeology, which is very, very helpful to open up how people lived, what they ate, the containers they used, the pottery, the size of their homes. Archaeology is really helpful in giving you insight into this subject. While the purpose of Scripture is to reveal Christ and salvation to us, we are reminded that our redemption is a work of God in history. It took place in time and space. The time was 2,000 years ago. The space was the land of Israel. And in telling us the story of Jesus, the Saviour that lived among men, the Saviour that died on a Roman cross in the time of Pontius Pilate, in telling the story of Jesus, the New Testament gives us insights into what life was like 2,000 years ago. We see into the homes, for example, Peter's home. We see into the home of Martha and Mary. We see village life and customs. We read of common diseases in the land and of physicians. A physician was a valid occupation in Bible times. There's always been sick people, and there've always been physicians. You remember how the Lord Jesus said, "They that are whole have no need of the physician." There was the physician in the town. There was the physician in the village, in the community. The sick needed physicians. You remember that Luke was a physician, Colossians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul calls him the beloved physician. He wrote a gospel, he wrote the Acts of the Apostles. And it's a very interesting study to see through his eyes and to remember that he is a physician that is writing. Now, he had a particular interest in the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Christ's methods. And he tells us some things about the miracles of Jesus that the other gospel writers don't, because of his eye as a physician. And he shows us that the Lord Jesus Christ was a total contrast to the physicians of his day, because the Lord Jesus didn't use the medicines of that age, didn't carry out the procedures, some of which were harmful. The Lord Jesus touched the leper. The Lord Jesus spoke to the sick and healed them. He healed by word, sometimes by spittle, sometimes with the dust of the ground. But it was always so different from the physician in the community. It's Luke that tells us about the man with the withered hand who was healed in the synagogue. Matthew and Mark also record the event. But Matthew and Mark don't tell us which hand it was. Only Luke tells us. He says there was a man whose right hand was withered. Luke notes that. For he had a physician's eye. He knew that for a poor man, what the loss of a right hand meant. The working hand. He could appreciate that loss. People who come across men and women with withered hands don't really appreciate that. You don't see it every day. But a physician does. He deals with the poor. The physician is hard to pay. And so Luke knows it would have been better if it had been his left hand. He was in plight. It was the right hand. Remember how we're told also in the Gospels about the woman with the issue of blood, that she had it 12 years. And Mark tells us that she suffered of many physicians. The treatments weren't pleasant. Now the Bible doesn't enlarge on that. But from other sources, and from the practice of physicians in ancient times, you get some comprehension of the kind of things she might have suffered. She suffered many things. Physicians were expensive. She spent all that she had, Mark tells us. She was nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse. Their treatments made her worse. The physicians couldn't help her, they made her worse. And that was sometimes the case. But whenever Luke tells us the story, he relates it as she had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So Luke's a wee bit more sympathetic to physicians. He doesn't relate that they made her worse. No, he just relates, without telling us that she suffered at the hands of physicians, Luke just tells us that they couldn't heal her. So you can see he's sympathetic to those who have his occupation. It's a hard job being a physician in the ancient times, and Luke knows it. That's all we know about physicians from the New Testament text. But it's true, it's infallibly accurate. But we can know more from other sources. How did one become a physician 2,000 years ago? Where did one study to be a physician? There was a physician's college in the hometown of Saul of Tarsus. That was a very respectable city. And there was a medical college there. What were the cures that they used? What tools? And so there's a field of study that looks at ancient medicine and the ancient medical instruments. And that's just an example of the kind of background knowledge that can be pursued in regard to these things. And there are other studies in other areas of daily life in New Testament Israel. But you may be saying, what's the value of background studies? Well, the first value is in the area of apologetics. Defending the faith, defending the Bible. And all these things confirm the accuracy of Scripture. The archaeologists see it every day. Confirms the accuracy of the Word of God. And we can be assured, as background studies advance, that there is nothing contradicting Scripture. So it is important as an area of apologetics. You'll never convince anybody that the Bible is the Word of God. It's only the Spirit of God can give you that conviction. But nevertheless, in our debates and in our arguing with the opponents of Scripture, we can use these things. It can also be helpful to explain difficult passages, obscure verses, where there are things that you don't really comprehend. For example, why was Peter naked in the boat on the Sea of Galilee? Well, why would he be like that? Then this problem of a camel going through the eye of a needle, what's that all about? And then why would they fish all night in the dark and not in the day? And then, of course, how can you let a man down through a roof? We look outside, we see all our roofs. That would be a hard job to do. But in Bible times, we are assured that they could let a man down through the roof. How can this be? And so the background studies help us to be able to interpret Scripture and to understand things that maybe just in our 21st century we just can't comprehend. It also brings history alive. That's the third reason for them. I think that's a very important reason. Our connection with the past is improved. We enter into the story whenever we begin to see its vividness. We like to read our Bible, but we really like to be drawn into the drama, into the story. We like to see it not just in black and white, but in colour. And background studies help us to have a vivid, yet an intelligently based imagination, which is very useful for preaching, very useful for teaching the Sabbath school or a Bible class, that you're able to draw them in, paint the picture and draw them in. Background studies are very important in that area. One of the most important sources of daily life in New Testament times are the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. His parabolic teaching method draws from daily life, things that he sees, things that are happening around him, things that he witnessed, things that took place. They are wonderful pictures of daily life. And the Lord lived as a man. He experienced and he witnessed daily life. He wasn't in the rabbinical schools. He wasn't way far off to Jerusalem or one of the great cities in the university. He was brought up in a poor home, in a poor village, in the despised northern region of Israel, Galilee. He's Jesus of Galilee. He's Jesus of Nazareth. But he saw the daily life in that poor part of Israel. He is one who was brought up in a carpenter's workshop. He had an eye for all of that. And it comes out in his teaching. He was truly, in a real sense, a man of his time. And it comes out in his stories. And this causes us to be confident in our Lord, that the story of Jesus is not fabricated. It couldn't be fabricated. It couldn't be invented. It couldn't be made up. He was brought up in Nazareth. He was a Galilean. His speech, so to speak, betrayeth him. Not just his accent, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about the content of his teaching. It shows you he was a Galilean. And he was associated with the poor in that day.